Don't tread on me. Give me liberty or give me death. That's who we are as Americans. And maybe because of that, we casually, and I think continually, attack those in authority over us. We do this first in the home, with the parents that God has set up over us. There's something about us that just doesn't want to submit. Then we also do it in the church. You know, when the elders of the church has made a mistake, well, we can rebel. But the civil government receives the lion's share of our ire and bitterness as Americans. As I was reading the commentaries on this passage, almost every one of them weren't just telling me what was in the text, but they were telling me what the exceptions were. And almost half the commentaries, the commentaries I read, half of what they said was on the exceptions to what this passage says. But if you look at the passage closely, it doesn't mention any exceptions. Now, it's true that there are, in the Bible, exceptions to this rule. But we need to hear the rule. We need to really fully hear the rule, especially perhaps as Americans. And when I've dealt with this text before, I noticed that half of what I said was on the exceptions. So I'm going to repent and change that. Only 25% of what I'm going to say will be on the exceptions. Because the Bible does speak of exceptions, but this text in particular doesn't. So we need to fully hear this text and not just hear all the exceptions. Romans 12. Because we have received the mercies of God in Christ, we are a different people. We are changed from the inside out. We have received the mercies of God in Christ. We have received the Holy Spirit, and that changes the way that we relate to everything. And he's going through in Romans chapter 12 what that means. We change our relationship to God. We react to him differently. We now give our lives to him as a living sacrifice. We can discern now and we can do the will of God. So our relationship with God has changed. Our relationship with ourselves has changed. We can begin now, finally, because we have a right relationship with God, we can begin to understand ourselves aright. And we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And we don't think of ourselves too lowly. We think of ourselves accurately. And we recognize, I guess, the gifts and the calling of God that he has placed upon us. And we run with our gifts to the benefit of others around us and our families and our church and even in the world. But then we learn to behave differently towards others. Perhaps even for the first time, we can really love them. And we change our lives, change our relationship to our persecutors and our enemies because of the Spirit that is within us. We can bless them and we can begin to overcome evil with good and not just respond evil to evil. And now in verse 13, he's talking about how we are different in our relationship to authority, the authority that has been placed over us. We submit to them as far as we possibly can. So how do we relate to the governing authorities, those that God has set up over us? We have authority in the family. We have authority in the church. You could even say we have authority at work. We have authority in the state. How do we relate to authority in general? But I think this text in particular talks about how we relate to the civil government around us. So how are the church and the state to relate to one another? Perhaps you've heard there's four different major categories as the way people think about this, at least they have in history. Erastianism. Have you ever heard that? That's when the state controls the church. That's the way it was for a long time. And then somebody got the idea, well, let's try theocracy, when the church controls the state. And others started with Constantine. Constantinianism, some people call it. It's when the state favors the church and the church accommodates the state. And then there's Kuypernianism, Abraham Kuyper. The church and the state are separate authorities delegated by God, and each are sovereign in their fields. And the church has a prophetic witness to the state. We can tell them what to do or what God says that they should do, and we should do that. But we need, as the church, to stay in our lane. And the government or the civil government should stay in their lane as well. But the command here, be subject to the governing authorities. The Word of God is calling us to submit. And we don't like that word, submit. When we think of being in subjection to someone or something, we think of this only in terms of a defeat after war. Those are the only people who are submitting. Those are the only people who are subjecting themselves. In a cage match, you can lose by submission, we call it. When you tap out, that's what we think of submitting or being in subject to. We often attach humiliation to that word, submit. But you do know, right, that you are called to submit to God. Oh yes, I submit to God and no one else. Are you subject to God? Oh yes, but no one else. Well, what about God through His delegated authority? Really what this text is saying is when you submit to God's delegated authority in the church, in the home, in the state, you are submitting to God. That's how we show our submission to God in one sense. Why? Why do we have to submit to the God's delegated authority in the state? Because they are God's delegated authorities. Proverbs chapter 8, by me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. Daniel chapter 2, He, God, changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. Jeremiah 27, and now I, God, have given all these things into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. What? God, that's a lousy choice. Whoa. He calls him my servant. Calls Nebuchadnezzar my servant, and I have given him also the beasts of the field to serve him. God has delegated authority to him. Jesus answered Pilate, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. Even Jesus submitted to authority. God sets up kings and rulers, and they have authority from him. God at times even raises up ungodly authority for his own reasons. And yes, there's time to resist. And there's a time to refuse obedience. But the rule, the command is, be subject to them. So if you resist them, you resist God, and you merit judgment. That's the other thing this text says. Now again, there are biblical examples of non-compliance. The Hebrew midwives didn't kill the babies. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow down at the command of the king. Daniel prayed to the real God, even though the king said you couldn't. The apostles preached, even though they were commanded not to do so. So there is a time to rebel. There is a time to refuse to obey the civil authority. We must obey God rather than men. But that's not what the text says. So we need to hear, feel, and embrace this text. But even now, I'm already doing, that's part of the 25% that we can resist. But here's the text, obey, submit, be in subjection to God's delegated authority. Titus chapter 3, remind them, Paul is telling Titus, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient. I've always wanted to say this. This scripture, the one that I just read, is now fulfilled in your hearing, right? I told you what you need to do. Submit, obey. 1 Peter chapter 2. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Jesus was once asked, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar's or not? April's coming, you know. But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, why do you put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me a coin for the tax. When they brought him a denarius, and Jesus said to them, whose likeness is an inscription is this? And they said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. So give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. In this case, it is submission, subjection, obedience. That's the rule. Follow it. And have you ever asked, who is telling us in Romans chapter 13 to obey the governing authorities over us? Who's commanding this? It is Paul. Who is Paul? He's an apostle. He's bearing apostolic authority when he issues this command. Well, whose authority is he using to issue this command? God's. So in essence, we are submitting to God, to apostolic authority, to God's own authority when we hear this word, to submit to the rulers that are. And when we submit to God's delegated authority, legitimately exercised, we submit to the Lord. First of all, Paul says to Timothy, I urge that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all peoples, for kings, and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. So I'm speaking to Americans who are rebels at heart, and who tend to see our government almost exclusively in negative terms. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you prayed for our rulers? Then I'll have somebody in the back of the room say, oh, I've prayed. I pray the imprecatory prayers. God's going to get them for what they do. And that's true. But I'm not asking you if you prayed in that way, but in the way that Paul commands Timothy. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life, godly and dignified in every way. Be subject, let me read this again, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free. Not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. We silence the foolishness of evil men by doing the right thing, even if it might cost us something. We are free, but we don't use our freedom as a covering for evil. There are some Christians who have endured great suffering and even martyrdom at the hands of the government in the face of great injustice. But then the blood of the martyrs became the seed of the church. And there can be times when we rebel for selfish reasons and not for God-honoring reasons. But when we think of our leaders, especially those that we don't agree with, didn't vote for, we often speak malicious thoughts about them, think malicious things about them, at least I do at times. Then I wonder to myself, am I being a bondservant to Christ when I maliciously think of the rulers he has placed over me? Are we overcoming evil with good then? Are we blessing those who persecute us then? Are we loving our enemies then? Let me just read part of the text again. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. So, that is the rule. Follow it. I got to get to the exceptions. I'm Presbyterian. I can't help it. And this is true for the rest of the Word of God. And it is one of the great praises of the Presbyterian Church that we know when to rebel. And the Western civilization is the better for it. Trust me. But here's the 25%. What are the exceptions? When the state is commanding something that God forbids, or when the state forbids something that God commands. We must obey God rather than men. Back to the Hebrew midwives. They were commanded to murder innocent children. And they said no. They were guarding the covenant people of God. When you serve as a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. That was the command. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded. But they let the male children live. Even Esther, she risked her own life to go into the presence of her husband, who was also the king, because murder was on the agenda. "Go assemble all the Jews," she said, "who are around Susa, and fast for me, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, day or night. I and my maidens will do the same. And thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." Daniel, he knew that the document to pray only to the king, had been signed. He went to his house where he normally did, and had the windows in his upper chamber opened toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees and prayed 3 times a day and gave thanks to God as he had done previously. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Our God will deliver us," they said, "or can deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." They were not going to worship an idol. The wise men disobeyed Herod. Remember that? When they wanted to kill Jesus as a child. Peter and the apostles answered to the civil authorities, the governing authorities, "We must obey God rather than men." So, submit to the governing authority, but there are exceptions. That's the 25%. Now back to the text. The purpose of civil government. They are to defend us. They are to establish justice. They are to promote peace, maintain order, punish crime. They are to commend well-doing. They have legitimate authority from God. They have legitimate authority from God. They don't just have raw power. They have legitimate authority from God. And they need to exercise it in His way. The Dutch confessions, the Belgian confession, I want to read you a little bit about what they think civil government is. "We believe that because of the depravity of the human race, our good God has ordained kings and princes and civil officers. God wants the world to be governed by laws and policies so that human lawlessness may be restrained and that everything may be conducted in good order and among human beings. For that purpose, God has placed the sword in the hands of the government to punish evil people and to protect the good. Moreover, everyone, regardless of status, condition, or rank, must be subject to the government and pay taxes and hold its representatives in honor and respect and obey them in all things that are not in conflict with God's word, praying for them that the Lord may be willing to lead them in all their ways and that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all piety and decency." The governing authorities are God's servants, and they are subject to God, and they are responsible to God, and they are to reward the good, and they are to punish the evil. They are to do us good, and they are to keep the peace. Family authority bears the rod, church authority bears the keys, and civil authority bears the sword, and they do not bear it in vain. They, rightly understood, when everything is functioning as it should, they are the instruments of God's wrath. They are to visit God's wrath today upon evildoers. That's their job. In fact, that's one of the reasons that we, as the individual Christian, or maybe even as the church, that's one reason that we can love our enemies and we can bless those who persecute us, because the civil government has the sword. We don't have the sword, but Uncle Sam does. And there ought to be a time when Uncle Sam uses the sword. So if they do their job, the government does its job, we should be able to do ours. We as the church need to stay in our lane. We as Christians need to stay in our lane. So what's the reason to obey? Verse 5, to avoid punishment. They do not bear the sword in vain. The government has legitimate power to coerce you, to force us into obedience. And we can avoid the wrath of God. We can't by the point of their sword. Secondly, to avoid punishment. Second, to preserve conscience. One of the ways that we serve God is by obeying them. You ever think of it that way? When we obey them, we obey God. And a grudging obedience is not full obedience. This is one of those situations where I, as a minister, have to say what the Word of God says, but it makes me a little bit mad. You should not only pay your taxes, you should enjoy it. That was hard for me to say. They are God's ministers. I shouldn't hate the IRS. They're doing not only the government's bidding, they're doing God's bidding. Oh, and you guys, like I am too, you're in the pews just fuming. I know there's exceptions and what my taxes are paid for, and this is not right, and this is not right. And why should I do this? Because God said. Because God said. Do you not think that God could change it in a day if He wanted? He can. He hasn't chosen to. Why? Because this is for our good. What? Even the rulers that we have now? Yes. What about the evil rulers in the past? Yes. God uses all things and works it all together for good in ways that you don't understand because your mind is really small. Sorry, I didn't have that in my notes. But the word here at the end in verse 6, the word for the ministers of God is a different word, the servants of God, than was used earlier in this text even. And this is a word that's typically used of priests who are serving God directly in the temple. He's saying that's the kind of servants they are. They are serving God. And he's talking about IRS agents, at least by application. We are to submit to them because they are God's servants. Therefore, pay your taxes and do it joyfully. Do it because you're honoring God. Do it because you're paying for His ministers and His servants, which is what they are. Pay your bills. Meet your obligations. If you owe revenue to anyone, pay it. Pay it on time. Are there people who are worthy of your respect? And respect them. If they are worthy of honor, give them honor. I used to think that, when God comes by His Spirit and begins to dwell in you, you can do all things differently. You're changed from the inside out. And you can respond to everything in the world differently because you are a new creation. And then I read earlier, we were talking about, well, we're supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to overcome evil with good. We're supposed to bless our persecutors. Wow! That's really, really hard. What about this one? Pay your taxes and submit to the governing authority. That one's hard too. But we have the Spirit of God to be able to do it. And we can even submit to things that aren't right. Not things that command us to do something that God forbids. Again, there are exceptions, but we are to even suffer injustice at the hand of the state to some degree. We really are. Why? Because we have the Spirit of Christ within us. Do you not think that Jesus, when He was hanging on the cross, when He was being humiliated, that He couldn't call legions of angels to defend Him, but He didn't. He submitted to the church authority and they were wrong. He submitted to the civil authority and they were wrong too. This was complete injustice. And it was God's way of salvation. And there's something, at least there ought to be, there is something about Christ in every Christian. That's why we can do these hard things. That's why we can do these impossible things. But we can never be forced to dishonor God. And as far as we can honor Him and submit to the civil government, we will. And everything lawful and everything legitimate and even some things illegitimate that are still tolerable. But we are to submit as far as we possibly can. We are to pay our taxes. We are to honor those that God has set over us, even in the family, even in the church. But there may come a time, this is the 25%, and I'll end with this. There may come a time when you need to stand alone, to stand with God alone. And when that time comes, do it. But that time is rare, at least it should be. You need to submit to the government, to honor God as far as you possibly can. But the one thing that never changes is you need to honor God in everything. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I have been under authority all my life. And I haven't liked it much. I have been under your authority all my life and under your delegated authority all my life, and I haven't liked it very much. I have rebelled against it often. I have done what was right in my own eyes often. Lord, you command here to submit to the governing authorities, to your delegated authority. Help us, Lord, to do so, to honor you as we honor them. Help us, Lord, to be the citizens that you have called us to be. Help us, Lord, to be the witnesses that you have called us to be. Help us to know that politics isn't the final thing, but your word and your truth is. And it is your kingdom that we serve in all things. So bless us, Lord, when we submit, and bless us, Lord, even when we must rebel. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.